All right. The hardest working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for being with me. Welcome to the show. This is the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio, the Wilder Network, the talk of our times. You missed the show, you will miss a hell of a lot. This is the show, 347-857-1762. Welcome to the show, broadcasting live out of Chicago. And I'm going to tell you right now, this state is in a mess. It's a flux. Okay, we're talking about elder abuse in America, and it is totally awful. It is awful. But for now, let's get to something that's in the news. Everybody seems to be on this Ben Carson boat, on this Ben Carson ride, you know, because all the misstatements he's made on television and video, on film, on, you know, in his books. You know, the guy is, I think he's on his way out. I mean, lies on top of lies, and they've been proven. They've been snuffed out. And now he's saying, Ben Carson, the Republican president of the United States, the African-American, which is shameful. People are now scrutinizing him, going deeper and deeper into his background. But why? Why are people scrutinizing him? Why are people going deeper and deeper into his background? Because he's leading in the polls. He's one of the front runners. He just might get the nomination, and people want to know more about him. So definitely the media is digging and researching and digging up as much as they can. They're not trying to find lies. They're just trying to get to know the guy. In the process of trying to get to know him, they're digging up all these fabrications, you know, and untruths. And he's trying to backpedal, saying that the liberal media, the Democratic media, is trying to bring him down. Nobody is trying to bring Ben Carson down. The only person that's bringing Ben Carson down is Ben Carson himself. He has contradicted himself so much. He's been caught in so many lies. And Ben Carson himself has admitted that some of the things he said may not have cut the mustard. And that he's sitting there lying on camera and lying in front of America. You know, because Ben Carson's past is facing deeper and deeper questions, not just from the media, but from Americans. Americans who are supporting him, Americans who are thinking about voting for him. And all of a sudden, in one video, he calls Americans stupid. Yeah, I guess they are if they're voting for him. If they're putting him over the top, I'm sure they're stupid, you know, because he's lying. I've said in other shows that this guy is not fit to be president of the United States. He's not fit to even be front runner. I think he knows that. The lies that he writes in his books, and his books are, they become bestsellers. They're selling out all over the place. His books are. So he's not hurting for money. He's just hurting for truth. That's where it lies with Ben Carson. It lies with the truth. And the reason why I'm leading off with this story, because it's the hottest thing on the internet. It's the hottest thing in the media, period. So I have to say something about it. Okay, it says the day after Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was killed in 1968, Ben Carson's black classmate unleashed their anger and grief on the white students who were the minority in Detroit at that time at Southwestern High. I guess that's a high school. Okay, Ben Carson, then a junior. He was a junior in high school in 1968. Then a junior with a key to a biology lab where he worked part-time, told the Wall Street Journal, this is when he was a junior, last month that he protected a few white students from being attacked by blacks because he hit them. Okay, it is a dramatic account of courage and kindness, and it couldn't be confirmed. None of that could be confirmed. That's the thing about it. Ben Carson says things, but it cannot be confirmed. You know, he said he was, you know, I forget what he said. Let me see if I can. High school, the students all remembered the riot, but none of them can recall Ben Carson hiding white kids to keep them from being attacked. Even some of those white kids that he said that he hit, hidden from being attacked, some of them, if they're not dead or in jail, they would have come out and kind of corroborated his story. But nobody can find anybody to corroborate his story. Just like he told people that he had got a scholarship from West Point. And West Point doesn't give scholarships. So he got caught in that lie. But still he's trying to defend it. And there's other people out there who are trying to help him defend a lie. You know, because he's the front runner. But I have a feeling that a lot of these things that this guy is saying or have said that cannot be proved or corroborated, or he just flat out get caught in his lies. I mean, this is going to cost him in the polls, I believe. This is going to cost Donald Trump to bash him. Donald Trump is already saying the guy's mentally ill. Mentally ill, those are the words that Trump is using from Dr. Ben Carson. He's mentally ill. He might be. I mean, if you saw him speak, he speaks like he's on Valium or something. He speaks like he's on drugs. He's so slow. And I'm hearing that a lot of support comes from because some say he's a soft-spoken guy. And you know what? And when you're in politics, you're in government. I mean, you're out there. You are a leader. You cannot be soft-spoken or you're going to get your ass handed to you. You got to be, you got to be a fighter, man. And Ben Carson he doesn't handle the role as a fighter real good. A liar, he does real well. But as a fighter, it remains to be seen. Because there are deeper questions, and this is all over the news. I'm pretty sure you've heard about Ben Carson and his lies, Ben Carson being caught up in his lies, things in his book that cannot be confirmed. So he seems like bookish. The guy seems bookish. He seemed nerdy. Some people call him the Urkel from Family Matters. He's just a soft-spoken guy. He's a nerdy guy. And he's been caught in his lie. And we just have to see where it goes on for that. This is Saturday night right here on the show. And if you're archiving the show, it's going to be a different day probably. But anyway, speaking of Donald Trump, he's going to be doing Saturday Night Live. A lot of the Hispanics were out there protesting, I don't know, like night and day. And the rallies were getting larger and larger. And they was bitching about Saturday Night Live not giving time to Donald Trump because Donald Trump is threatening to deport all of them if he becomes president. So they want to get him out. But Saturday Night Live, I said this before, Saturday Night Live is not going to preempt Donald Trump. It's too much money in it for him. It's money to have him on a show because if he gets the viewership that the Saturday Night Live is expecting, that's money in their pocket. And the Hispanics, they're not giving him anything whatsoever. And I think Hispanic leaders are offering people in the audience of Saturday Night Live to stand up and just shout racism to Donald Trump, and they're going to give this person $5 million or something. I mean, that's crap. That's crap. You know, I mean, you're going to pay somebody in an audience to say nasty things to a presidential candidate? I don't think that's right. They should find another way of protesting the guy because Saturday Night Live is going to have Donald Trump on the show regardless. And I couldn't blame him. I really don't. I mean, the Hispanics, they're not... They're just crying in their milk or whatever. They're afraid if he becomes president, he's going to deport them, get them out of the country, because most of them aren't supposed to be here anyway. And they're afraid that Donald Trump might try to add another amendment to the Constitution where it says Hispanics babies, if their babies are born in the United States, that shouldn't be anymore. You know, because a lot of people are totally not on board with that. Sometimes even I'm not on board with it. I don't think anybody should come to the country who is not a citizen of the country and then have a baby, but their baby, if they have a baby in this country, automatically their baby becomes a citizen, and that gives them a hold on being never being deported because they have a child born here. I think that's awful. And that's why we have a lot of Hispanics in the United States here already, because they cry about being separated from their families. You know, the mother or father are legal, but their child is an American citizen. So they cry about that, and they go get a hick lawyer from somewhere, and hey, wow, they're here to stay. Okay, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. We're going to have a special guest today. Hopefully that'll happen. And we're still talking about Donald Trump. And I'm hearing that Elizabeth Warren is out there sitting a good fight. You know, maybe one day she's going to be on my show. And if I can get Elizabeth Warren or someone out there in the political world to come on the show, it's going to totally happen, because this is a internet radio show, but it is international. And it's a great show. It's a wonderful show. All right, this is George Wilder Jr. You can always contact me on Facebook, LinkedIn, Google. I'm all over the place. Yahoo. I'm all over the place. I'm even on Amazon.com. I'm a writer. I'm an author. Go check out my work. It is super writer. Some people ask me, George, who are your favorite writers? And I used to say I didn't have a favorite writer, but I do. I think everybody has a favorite writer, somebody you look up to, somebody you idolize, somebody you want to be like. But I think one of my favorite writers is Edgar Allan Poe. Okay, the next one is probably Robert Reich, former staff in the Clinton administration, former staffer of the Clinton administration. He writes a lot of books. Actually, he's one of my Facebook friends. Robert Luglund, you know, the guy who wrote the Bourne, Vince Flynn, you know, so Jackie Collins. I mean, I love it all. I mean, if it's reading, I love it. You know, if it's books, I love it. You know, so I have a lot of favorite authors and writers, you know, but, you know, and that's why I think I'm a good writer, because I read a lot of good books. And that's the thing. If you want to be a good writer, read good books, you know, by good people, you know. So right now I'm reading A Fighting Chance. What are you reading, George? I'm reading A Fighting Chance by Senator Elizabeth Warren. And it's a good book. You know, it reads like a memoir. That's what it reads like. And it's a great book. And if you want to go out and pick it up, I'm pretty sure it's on Amazon, Barnes and Nobles, and other outlets. I'm pretty sure that it's also a Kindle download. So you can always download that book and also download my books. We're both on Amazon.com. So this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. It is 6:15 straight up Chicago time. It's about, I believe it may be about 30 degrees outside. We're near the lake, and it's beautiful. It's dark. that's because of daylight savings time. You know, it gets a lot of darker. It gets darker because you lose an hour or two or something like that. But we can't wait till January. Because January, that's when the days will start lasting a little bit longer. All right, this is George Wilder Jr., George Wilder Jr. Show. I will be right back. Stay with me. I'm glad you're here, everybody. All right. I don't want you to burn the food. You burn pieces. All right, we're back. We're here. Okay, now, Louisiana police officers arrested two police officers in the shooting death of a six-year-old child. Yes, and I'm hearing that the child was had autism or something. Let's see what they're saying. Two Louisiana law enforcement officers remained jailed Saturday while their colleagues tried to sort out the details that led to the death of a six-year-old and a severe wounding of his father in a hail of gunfire. Man, I hope they sort that out. The dead child was six-year-old Jeremy Martis, who was in a car being driven Tuesday by his father. State police said Stafford is a full-time... Okay, Stafford is the name of one of the officers. Full-time marshal. Both men were working part-time as deputy marshals in Marksville Ward 2nd when Tuesday's shooting broke out. Okay, obviously, the six-year-old was mistakenly hit or intentionally hit. I don't know the details. I'm just getting this. But I'm pretty sure you probably have heard this, and it's something in the news, so, you know. 6 years old. Wow, he didn't deserve to die like that. That's a quote. He also called the video he reviewed the most disturbing thing I've ever seen. I will leave it at that. Every time it seems like you turn on the television, you turn on your internet, some overzealous police officer or police officers gunning down somebody needlessly and senselessly. I don't know. Some of these cities, when they're hiring these officers, they ought to vet these guys, look more into their backgrounds before they put these guys on the force. You know, so just like I think school municipalities should vet their teachers a lot more before hiring them as teachers, because a lot of the teachers are abusive to the also. You know, I mean, some of these teachers are going around sexually molesting the children that they teach or dreaming about it. You know, so we just got to do a better job. Oregon, big time. They voted in a tea partier, and they're going to break the state. That's all they do when they get in office. They break the state. And a lot of people do not vote, or there's people who vote against their own interests. And people are saying that all around the radio dial, that people vote against their interests or people do not vote, period. And that's the sad thing about it. They vote against their own interests, or they don't vote at all. In Kentucky and Oregon of Democrats, it's been reported that the turnout was super duper low. And I keep stating on this radio show, when you do not vote, and you're registered to vote, or you're old enough to vote, and you're capable of voting, and you do not vote, for whatever reason you may think you have for not voting, your vote is still going to work. Because that's what the Republicans want. They don't want you to vote, because they know if you don't vote, then they can sail into office. Remember, we are the 99%ers and they are the 1%. Do the math. We are more, they are less. When the more of us do not vote, the less takes over. You may feel that your vote, I've said this before, you may feel that your vote is not going to work for you. Oh, yes, it will. Even if you do not vote, your vote is working. But it's best if you vote. because then your vote will work for you, not against you. When you do not vote, your vote works against you. When you vote, your vote works for you. But there are so many people who give so many erroneous reasons for not voting. It's a shame. You know, some people just say, hey, wow, I don't like the candidates. I don't trust Democrats. I don't trust Republicans. So I'm not voting. If you are a taxpayer and you are a citizen of the United States, there is no excuse for voting. I understand that the Constitution said do not abridge anybody's right to religion, but I understand all of that. But I do understand if you do not vote, then that's a vote for the bad guy, and the bad guy is going to work against you. And I'm talking about the middle class, people who go to work every day, sweating. And blood, sweat, and tears to take care of their families. And all of a sudden, you get a Republican governor in there, you get a Republican president, and all of a sudden, your income goes down. And you're telling yourself, man, I should have voted. But it's too damn late now. It's too late. I'm not the only one out here that's advocating people vote. People didn't vote in 2010. People didn't vote in November 2012. People voted in 2008. People voted like hell in 2010. Those were the years that Obama ran for president of the United States. We got out there in troves, but during the midterms, like in every 2 years or so, people don't vote. Off-year elections, people don't vote. I don't know why, and they are the most important. Because in off-year elections, you're voting for a governor. You're voting for your representatives. And these things also matter, not just presidential election, but off-year elections and the midterms. Every election, every vote counts. People did not vote last week or a week and a half ago. That's why a lot of these offices were flooded with Republicans. And Republicans love it when you don't vote. Why do you think Republicans try to suppress the vote? Suppressing the vote means just not letting you vote. You not voting means that they can take office. That's one of the reasons why we have Bruce Rauner, Republican Bruce Rauner in Illinois, and he's destroying it. I mean, you look at all these southern states down here. They're filled with nothing but Republicans because black people in those states, and there's a majority of black people, they did not get their butts out and vote. And these guys just walk into office when you and I or other people do not vote. I know I'm probably whistling and wasting my time along with a lot of other people trying to get people out here to do the right thing. And there are so many people on welfare, if there is welfare, food stamps, Social Security, they're getting Medicaid, Medicare. These are Democratic programs. Okay? These are Democratic, liberal, progressive programs. And a lot of these people who are on these social programs, they vote for a Republican. They vote for a conservative. And then the conservative that they vote for get in the office and turns around, cuts their Social Security, cuts their Medicare, cut their food stamps. And then they're crying. You put them in office. You voted for them. Why are you crying? They're taking away their the Republicans are busting unions. And you wonder, why are they busting unions? You put them in there. You voted for them or you didn't vote. You are going to be, if you are a taxpayer and you live in the United States, you are an American, you are obligated to vote. You are. And there are so many people saying, well, my religion was not going to let me vote. That's a weak excuse, but people use it. Oh, I don't like the candidate. They're liars. They're cheat. Yeah, they are. You can't trust them. They're corrupt. They're not doing anything for me. I understand all of those arguments. I do. You just have to get out there and vote for the right candidate. Democratic, independently, not a Republican. These people are crazy. Just think about Ben Carson. Just think of Ben Carson, Jack. I mean, this guy is really, really something. But anyway, people have to vote. I'm going to be harping on this for a long, long time because a lot of other people are harping on it too. And we just don't vote. People don't get out there and vote. Low voter turnout, that should never happen. That should never be. That should never, never happen. All right, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. Be right back, and we're going to talk more about elderly abuse.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio.
All right, here we go. Let's see what we have here.
The hardest working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
All right, types of elderly abuse. We have nursing homes, you know, but most people feel that abusiveness is not only in the nursing homes. It could be at home, period. Okay, our affiliated nursing home abuse lawyers have years of experience in defending the rights of especially vulnerable citizens. Our affiliated lawyers have seen that nursing home abuse and neglect are unacceptably common and often result in long-term suffering or even a wrongful death of residents. Our affiliated lawyers have a strong record of helping victims of nursing home abuse and their families stop abuse and neglect and secure the compensation for their suffering. It means that if you have a loved one in a nursing home, and yeah, I mean, hey, wow, you find out there's abuse going home, you can all abuse going on, you can always sue them. Okay, there are all forms of nursing home abuse. I have a clip here. I'm going to play this clip. All right, nursing home.
We do a lot of stories on family, and we know families with loved ones in a nursing home often wonder, are they really okay? And it's a nightmare if we believe that they're being mistreated. We have a horrific example of what can go wrong. Her colleague Jane Velez Mitchell brought this story last night on Issues. Let's get you the story. Tragic story. 78-year-old Lois McAllister is her name. She has Alzheimer's disease. Lois was allegedly being harassed by workers at the nursing home. But before a camera was put in the room and the video was available, the family thought, really, everything was okay.
Mary, when did your mother first tell you that workers were abusing her, and what exactly did she say to you?
It was in early March. She kept saying that she was being hurt. Her arms were being pulled and twisted. She was being punched. So I went to an administrator and told them what my mother had told me, and she got back to me and told me that it was due to a change in her mental status.
So in other words, they were suggesting her dementia had gotten worse. The family couldn't trust mom here. Well, the family didn't take any chances, put a camera in the room. Here's what they saw. Now, it's dark video, tough to see what's happening here. And this video given to us, by the way, by Haverford Township Police Department. Lois's daughter, son-in-law, they allege this is mom being taunted, mocked, sometime when she wasn't even fully clothed. Now, Lois's daughter and son-in-law, they saw this video. Obviously, they were furious, but just heartbroken.
I don't know what joy you can derive from harming an elderly person, especially one who's depending on you to take care of them. You know, we trusted them to take good care of her, and they didn't do it.
What a great point. Who does that? Who has the heart or lack thereof to do that? Now, three workers have been charged here with aggravated assault, criminal conspiracy, neglect of a dependent person, harassment, and reckless endangerment. They've lost their jobs, from what we understand. We do have a statement or part of the statement from the company that runs the nursing home, Sunrise Senior Living. Here's part of it saying, "We cherish each and every resident we serve and take these allegations very seriously. We've cooperated closely with law enforcement." They go on to say the three individuals involved in this incident have been dismissed from their jobs. And despite the unacceptable actions of a few, please remember that the Quadrangle is filled with many great and compassionate caregivers and are dedicated to delivering superior care to hundreds of residents. But Lois McAllister's family, not satisfied with the company's response, they're filing a lawsuit against the Senior Living Center. Once again, bring in my colleague, Jane Velez Mitchell, who did a great job bringing this story to light. Jane, I know this is near and dear to your heart and mine. Your mom's in her 90s. My dad's in his mid to upper 80s now. And how do we? I think people see this, they're shocked, they go, how do we make sure a loved one in a situation like this is going to be okay?
Well, thank God for nanny cams and hidden cameras, because this may have been going on forever, and now, due to modern technology, we're starting to see what happened. Now, the family, Paul and Mary French, says when they went to management of this nursing home, they were told, well, she has Alzheimer's. Essentially, she's not really a credible witness. They, of course, deny that. But that's the problem, in essence. If you're dealing with people who are disabled in some way, how can they defend themselves? How can they say stop it or go and complain when they may not be considered to have a lot of credibility? There was another example in the Los Angeles area not too long ago that was also caught on tape, and these were profoundly disabled women being raped on camera. It was caught on camera that they were being raped by some of the people who worked there, and it was just absolutely horrifying video. And then come to find out that a huge percentage of people who work in nursing homes and these kinds of facilities have criminal records. So obviously there is some kind of problem there with monitoring these people, and of course allowing the people who live there to have a certain modicum of privacy as well. You want to have cameras on them 24/7 and have strangers looking at them. But then again, does every family member want to have to resort to putting a hidden camera in to monitor the situation? I don't necessarily have the answer, but obviously this is a problem that is more than just an isolated incident here or there. We're now hearing too many of these kinds of stories.
Yeah, you know, I had a chance to make a phone call to the Alzheimer's Association, and some of their tips are very good. In other words, if you make the difficult decision to have a family member go into a nursing facility, you're still a caregiver. Visit often, go there often, make a relationship, have a strong relationship with those that are your parents or your loved ones' caregivers, and find out who is going to be the caregiver. The shifts change and things like that, because we want to be so in touch and be in tune with our relatives, and I think that's an important point here, Jane.
Yeah, absolutely, and I'm not saying that these three young women who were arrested in this latest case in Pennsylvania have criminal records or rap sheets. I don't know, but I do think there should be a law that says you shouldn't be able to work in a nursing home if you've got a rap sheet. This is a population that, again, cannot defend itself. They're essentially voiceless and helpless. So why are we having people who have perhaps a proclivity towards violence or inappropriate behavior watching them?
I think that's an excellent point. I think that's another fact that you brought out that's shocking to so many, that so many that have been convicted of crimes are taking care of those that we love so much. Jane, again, great job on this. Always good talking to you. And I know you and I are, since it's so close to our hearts, we're going to keep following this story.
All right. That is really shocking. That's totally shocking. You have people working in nursing homes taking care of our loved ones who have criminal records. Criminal records. People working in nursing homes with criminal records. What else can you expect from them but abuse? What? Okay? All right. Elderly abuse is a significant public health problem. Each year, hundreds and thousands of adults over the age of 60 are abused, neglected, or financially exploited. Elderly abuse includes negligence and exploitation is experienced by one out of every 10 people ages 60 and older who live at home. This statistic is likely an underestimated because victims are unable or afraid to tell the police. So you have elderly abuse going on out there, and the person that's being abused, they're unable in some way to call the police or call for help. They are, man, this is something else. I mean, how can you beat on and misuse and abuse someone who is 60, 70, 80, 90 years old and just love what you're doing? It's appalling, totally appalling. And, you know, I want to do something about it. I want to help to do something about it. I'm going to be an advocate for this, for elder abuse, senior abuse, whatever you want to call it, abuse of older people. Abuse doesn't always have to be somebody hitting on someone or physically knocking them down, slapping them. Abuse can be physical, which I just got through talking. It could be sexual, emotional, neglect, abandonment, and most of all, it can be financial abuse. I have a clip I'm going to play about that. So just like anything else, any other kind of abuse, child abuse, domestic abuse, and elder abuse, if you see something, you know something, say something, you know. And not all nursing homes are abusive, okay? Not all nursing homes, but there's a few out there who are still. Some are getting a lot better since they've been caught abusing their elderly patrons. Some have gotten a lot better because of the lawsuits. You know, some have gone out of business. You know, there have been a lot of deaths in nursing homes, not caused by anything but abuse. And this is a shame. This is a shame. I mean, because my grandmother lived to be 97. Now, if there was any abuse whatsoever, I don't think there was any abuse. I don't think she was abused any kind of way, at least not from my standpoint. It could have been something I probably just didn't know. But if there was abuse, something I really don't want to know about, you know, because it would make me angry, get me upset and piss me off, you know. So elderly abuse is something, because you know what? You got a lot of people, young people, even some older people who do not like old people just because they're old. You know, just like some people don't like people who are disabled simply because they are disabled. And it's weird, it's strange, it's not right, but it's here and it happens. You know, elder abuse happens. Domestic violence happens every night. Child abuse happens every night. Sexual abuse happens all the time. Elder abuse. One out of 10 people in America is being abused because they're old, weak, defend themselves physically or mentally. So people take advantage of them, especially if they want money. And that's a damn shame. It's awful. It is totally awful. Okay, I have another clip here. I'm going to play it. It's pretty long, but it's saying a lot. Hopefully we can all learn something.
Hello, my name is Carol Howell, and I'm with UC Davis Center for Healthy Aging, and it is my pleasure to introduce Dr. Laura Mosqueda. She is the Chief of Geriatrics at UC Irvine School of Medicine, and she's a professor of family medicine and holds the Ronald W. Reagan Endowed Chair in Geriatrics. She sees patients at the UC Irvine Senior Health Center and participates in research and education as well. And her topic today is on elder abuse.
Thanks, Carol. It's a pleasure to be here to talk to you about this important topic of elder abuse. It's going to be a challenging topic, though. This is something that we don't talk about very often, and I think we really need to start challenging everybody in our society to think about this issue of elder abuse and understand it a little bit more. It's challenging in a number of different ways. I want people to imagine what it's like in terms of what elder abuse really is, to really ponder what it means to people, to take it beyond just the fact that, oh, that's a real shame that this occurs in our society, but to understand it as the trauma it really is to the people who are directly affected by it and everybody who loves them. I want you to acknowledge that this really exists, and I'm going to prove it to you as we talk today. And I want you to believe two things. I want you to believe that anyone can be a victim and anyone can be a perpetrator. And this, I think, is particularly challenging for us to really understand and take in. Well, what do we mean when we talk about elder abuse? There are a variety of categories of elder abuse as defined in state law in California, and I have them listed here on the screen: physical, sexual, financial abuse, neglect by other people towards somebody, neglecting yourself, issues of abandonment and abduction where people are actually taken across state lines, and psychological abuse. All of these types of abuse that I've just mentioned are reportable abuse. In other words, we are required, many of us, to report these to the state if we have a suspicion, although psychological abuse or emotional abuse is an optional report. We're going to focus in on the topic of physical abuse, neglect, and some issues related to sexual abuse as well. I'm going to go through a few examples, and unfortunately I have to tell you that these examples are based on real cases that I have been involved in. Here's an example of financial abuse. A 55-year-old woman who threatens her mother, if you don't sign on the dotted line to pay for my car, you're going to go into a nursing home. Another example, a 30-year-old man who befriends a widow. She's lonely, she's depressed, she lost her husband less than a year ago. And what people who are sort of predators will often do is find a hole, a gap, an emotional need somebody has, and fill that. And what does he do? He obtains the password for her ATM card and offers to help her buy groceries. And then he also helps himself to cash so that he has some for his own spending to the tune of tens of thousands of dollars over a period of a year. Examples of physical abuse: pulling somebody's hair, in fact, dragging somebody by their hair across a carpet, throwing food or objects at somebody, denying access to pain medication, slapping, hitting, punching. A recent case I'm involved in involves a 16-year-old girl who was punching her grandmother in the face. These are the sad realities of what's going on. One of the more hidden types of abuse that I'd like to bring to your attention has to do with neglect. And before I give you some examples of neglect, I think it deserves a little bit of an explanation. When we talk about neglect, we're talking about a relationship, somebody who has assumed responsibility or care and custody for another individual who's unable to care for themselves. And when this person who has assumed this responsibility does not provide appropriate care, such as basics, food, clothing, and shelter, medical care, making sure the person's hygiene is reasonably taken care of, looking after things like health and safety hazards, when these things are not attended to in a reasonable way, we call this neglect. Here are some of the examples that I've seen. People who are lying in urine and feces, and I don't just mean a dirty diaper for a few minutes here or there. I mean people who are lying in their own urine and feces for hours, days, weeks at a time. People who have very elongated, filthy nails, matted hair, living in filthy conditions. People who are not fed or given fluids and they become malnourished and dehydrated. It's not good enough for somebody who's unable to get around to just leave some food at the bedside if they can't reach for it and feed themselves. People who develop deep open wounds that we call pressure sores, sometimes all the way down to their bones, because no one has repositioned them and they're unable to move on their own. These are some examples of neglect that we see. Well, how common is this problem of elder abuse? It's a great question, but it's a very hard one to answer. As you can imagine, it's hard to just knock on somebody's door and say, is anybody abusing grandma? So the question then becomes, how do we figure out how common a problem it is? we also need to understand that there are some difficulties in establishing abuse related to people's reluctance to even admit it's occurring. Not only can we not knock on the door to ask if anybody's abusing grandma, but grandma might not want to tell us if there's abuse going on. She might be ashamed that her own grandson is doing this to her. Many older adults fear losing their independence and, in fact, would rather remain at home in an abusive situation than go to a facility such as a nursing home. Again, a very sad reality. And unlike children, older adults can just sort of fade quietly away in our society and nobody thinks about it. Nobody questions it. With kids, if they don't show up at school, we wonder what has happened to them. But we're very accepting of older adults sort of disappearing, oh, they got sick and you never see them again. So it's hard to know really what's going on sometimes. People who are being abused might be so incapacitated physically, cognitively, emotionally, that they're unable to even report that they're being abused. So people might be too incapacitated to report, but the other thing that sometimes occurs is that signs of abuse may be missed or mistaken for usual aging. After all, it's pretty common to have bruises as we get older. It's not uncommon to have a hip fracture, and so it can be really difficult to tell whether or not some of these injuries were a result of abuse or just something that happened by mistake. So I'm going to give you our best guess or guesstimate in terms of how common abuse is, but we also want to recognize that it probably is an underestimate. The best study we have so far is called the National Elder Abuse Incident Study, published 10 years ago now, 1998, where there was some attempt to quantify the problem. And this is what they found, is that in a one-year period, there were 236,000 reports of seniors abused at home and 50,000 reports of abuse in nursing homes. I want you to really pay attention to this because one of the common myths is that abuse occurs in nursing homes and it's really not an issue in society, when the reality is that the vast majority of abuse occurs in private homes and the most common perpetrator is a family member. What did they learn? Well, not only do you have 236,000 reports of abuse in the community, 50,000 in nursing homes, but for every report of abuse, at least five. Some people think maybe triple that. Go unreported. So when you look at the numbers, you're talking about at least 1 million older adults in 1998 victims of abuse. This is a big problem. So what happens now when we start projecting out in terms of numbers of older adults who live in the United States? And let's take a look at a graph for just a moment to examine this issue. You can see that the number of people over the age of 65, of course, is rising at a very, very rapid rate. One of the wonderful things now is that our life expectancies have gone up in a very dramatic fashion in just the past 100 years. But pay attention in particular to this red line, people who are 85 and over. They are the most rapidly growing segment of our society in the United States. Their numbers of people over the age of 85 are growing at an exponential rate. Look at the way the number takes off after the year 2030. And that's not very far off. Why do we have a special category for elders? I mean, in California, the law is that after the age of 65 is when we call something elder abuse. Does that mean it's okay to abuse somebody when they're 64 and then on their birthday at 65 it becomes criminal? Well, the reason we really talk about this special category for elders is that as we grow older, we do become more vulnerable to mistreatment. And so it just becomes a practical matter to have kind of an age cutoff for it, which I think is a reasonable way to go. What are some of these vulnerabilities? Well, as we grow older, it might be harder to defend ourselves from being abused. It might be harder to defend yourself from somebody coming at you with a blow. So it might be harder physically to defend yourself, and certainly emotionally it might be harder to defend yourself against some of the verbal attacks that can be landed at you. You also may be more dependent on others than you have in the past. We're all used to and enjoy being fairly independent creatures. And now if we begin to have some difficulty and we need help with very personal things like dressing, like grooming, like hygiene, all of a sudden there are more people involved in your life, more hands touching you, and again, vulnerabilities increase. There's also this fear that we talked about a few minutes ago, fear of losing your independence if a report is made. So now somebody might really be able to threaten you, sign over the house or I won't let you live in your own home anymore to help you stay in your own home. You'll have to go into a nursing home. Older adults are very susceptible to these sorts of threats, and that's quite easy to imagine. I want to spend just a moment talking to you about dementia as a special issue. I certainly have observed time and time again that people with dementia are particularly vulnerable to elder abuse. Alzheimer's disease, of course, is the most common type of dementia, and we need to recall that dementia is not just memory loss, but loss of other cognitive functions, so that people with a dementia certainly have short-term memory loss, but also have problems with things like judgment, reasoning, insight, language, difficulty comprehending things. And so you can imagine, as people go through different stages of dementia, their risk of abuse also can be quite high. So in the early stages, when you're having memory trouble and difficulty comprehending things, people might have you sign on the dotted line, and you might lose thousands of dollars. You might lose your house, other sorts of financial abuse that occurs. As people then move through the different stages of dementia and in the very end stage be very dependent, they may end up suffering from some very severe neglect. Dementia gets much more common as we grow older. So if you look at everybody over the age of 65, about 3 to 5% of people have a dementing illness. But past the age of 85, you're probably dealing with close to half of our population with dementia. And remember back to that slide we looked at a moment ago in terms of the growth of people over the age of 65, the growth of the number of people over the age of 85 in our society. People who have dementia may be unable to report abuse. You may no longer be able to use a telephone or know how to make a report. One thing that really scares me is we tend to really discount people who have dementing illnesses like Alzheimer's disease. So if a report is made, they're not believed. After all, they have a dementia. We really can't believe anything they say, and they get discounted. And people, particularly in the middle and later stages, may be unable to even recognize that they're being abused because they have such severe cognitive difficulties, they don't even comprehend the bad situation that they're in. Well, why is this happening? Why does elder abuse occur? And we don't really know the answer to this question, but I want to throw out a few possibilities for us to think about, and perhaps you can argue about them with some folks later on. Is it a mental illness problem, or is it a caregiver who has, say, a bipolar disorder, or has schizophrenia, or has some other sort of mental health problem that makes them unable to properly care for a loved one? Is it that we just live in a violent society, that now pushing and shoving and hitting people has become more commonplace, and this is now translating into older adults as well? Is it a sense of entitlement? I'm going to get that money anyway. I may as well get it sooner than later. Is it stress? Boy, I'm trying to take care of the kids. My husband wants dinner as soon as he gets home, and now I'm taking care of his mother, my mother-in-law, and I just can't handle all this, and she keeps asking me the same question over and over again, and finally I just can't take it, so I just feel stressed. Or is that an excuse? Is it, as many people in the domestic violence community talk to us, really an issue of power and control? And we certainly see domestic violence in late life. Is it an issue of ageism? Do we just not care about what happens to older adults in our society? Do we just feel that, well, they're old anyway, so it doesn't matter as much? This scares me, but I've heard people speak like this. It's not as important if an older adult gets abused than if a child gets abused because they're not going to live that much longer anyway. I think this is a horrible notion, and as a society, we need to confront that many of us carry these beliefs deep within us. So some questions to ponder. What is our responsibility as family members? What is our responsibility as neighbors and friends? Are we ageist? Or do we have some concern about violating privacy? And we're always trying to balance these sorts of issues out. We don't want Big Brother watching after us. On the other hand, if we have a concern about a neighbor or a friend who we haven't seen, what is our responsibility to check in and make sure that they're okay, that they're not being isolated and kept in a back room, and that nobody's allowing phone calls to come in? I don't have answers. Right now I have questions that I'd like people to think about. What is our responsibility as a society? Are there laws that need to be enacted, or are there laws that are barriers right now to doing a good job in terms of care for older adults who are vulnerable? What role could the government play? What role should the government play? There's precious little funding right now that goes into research related to elder abuse, particularly would you compare the numbers of dollars that go into child abuse research, domestic violence research? Why is that? And who is the voice of these vulnerable elders to speak up to say we need to do something more? What policies do we have in place right now that either allow or prevent elder abuse from occurring? So, for example, we have mandated reporting laws, and we now ask that the clergy make reports if they have a reasonable suspicion of elder abuse. Many of us fear making these sorts of reports. We fear that some sort of SWAT team is going to roll in and grab Granny out of the house, when in fact that's very far from the truth. What we have are agencies through the government called Adult Protective Services, who I think are some of the unsung heroes in our society, who will go to these homes, sometimes in dangerous situations, to check on an elder to see if they're okay. One thing I've learned is it's not my responsibility to confirm whether or not abuse has occurred. My responsibility as a healthcare provider and my responsibility as a citizen is simply to have a reasonable suspicion. If I have enough of a concern that abuse is occurring, I have a responsibility to report to Adult Protective Services to ask them to check on this person who we have some worries about. They'll then go to the home and hopefully try to make a face-to-face visit and establish whether or not there really is a problem going on. Why is this important? Why should you and the public really care about this issue? Remember this slide? Remember about the number of older adults who are growing in our society? Even if the percentage remains the same in terms of how common elder abuse is, the mere fact that we have growing numbers of people in our society means that this is going to be a growing problem, particularly because we don't yet understand enough about mechanisms to prevent abuse, which of course is our goal. So as the number of older adults in our society grows, and the number in particular of people over the age of 85, the most vulnerable members of our society, grows at an exponential rate, we have to care, and we have to really take more of an activist role in preventing and identifying and doing something when we think elder abuse has occurred. Someday this could be you. Any one of us can be a victim. Any one of us can be a perpetrator. We need to understand and believe these as truisms. I hope I've gotten you a little bit angry. I hope I've stimulated your interest so that you'll want to learn more about the issue of elder abuse.
Yes,
I hope that
you'll
want to get involved in either a small or a big way. A small way that you can get involved would be to just go and tell five people about what you've learned. Just tell five people that this is a problem, and you'll help us a great deal. You can also join an organization that we're starting called Elder Peace, which is really a grassroots advocacy organization. Because if you're 85 years old and you have Alzheimer's disease and you're being abused, you have no way to really go vote. You have no way to advocate for yourself. And we really need to help folks on their behalf so that this problem doesn't continue. I thank you for your attention.
All right, I hope that enlightened you a little bit about, or a lot, about elderly abuse in the United States. It's happening. And it can happen to anyone over 60, over 65, over 70, over 80, over 85, over 90. Elderly abuse is serious. It's a shame that so many people, young people, not all, but some young people, beat up on the elderly, beat up on the old just because they're old, or just because they want something out of them. They may want some money from the bank. They may want the house. Most elderly abuse takes place in the home. A family member is abusing another member of the family who is an elder or a senior. And a lot of times the senior doesn't say anything because the senior is afraid that that person may put them in a nursing home. And most seniors want to stay home. Most elderly people want to stay in their homes. So they do whatever that family member wants them to do. That may even go in and get some money out of the bank. But elderly abuse is a serious problem. Elderly abuse ranks up there with domestic abuse, and that any type of abuse, when I say abuse, I mean beating up on someone, physically beating up on someone. I have watched many videos where the elderly person was actually being just totally abused by someone who's a lot younger. And this person thinks that nobody's looking. This person thinks nobody's paying attention. This person doesn't realize there's a camera in the room. And it's a shame that some nursing homes still have people on the staff working there, looking after the elderly person or persons, and these people who work there have criminal records. Like I just said, I mean, if you have people working in a nursing home with criminal records, what else can you expect from them but abuse? Some people have nasty attitudes. I mean, you can't say two words with them. You can't say two words to them unless they want to fight or something, you know? People have nasty attitudes. They fly off the handle quickly, get upset, you know? How many times have you walked into a store or a restaurant and you ordered something and the clerk behind the bar, the clerk that you gave the order to, looks nasty and respectful, and they look as if they hate their jobs and they take it out on you? You know, and it could be anybody. It doesn't have to be an elderly person, but anybody. But basically what I'm saying is elderly abuse occurs, and it's happening all the time. You walk down the street of your tree-lined community and nothing but homes, beautiful-looking buildings. Do you know what's really going on inside? That's a beautiful neighborhood. It's a wonderful neighborhood. I love the houses. Man, that looks great. Look at the cars all out front. It's a beautiful time. It's a beautiful spring day. And those houses, they look great. They're all expensive and everything. But do you really know what's going on inside? It could be someone in that house that's being abused, tied up in the basement, in a cage. You never know what's going on inside those beautiful homes. Elderly abuse, beating up on seniors, beating up on people over 60 will not be tolerated in this country. If you see something, you know something, contact someone. If you suspect elderly abuse, contact the Adult Protective Services. You can go online and get all the information you want, and they will come out there and they will investigate. Nobody, because elderly people should be looked upon as role models, because you don't get to be elder. You don't get to be a senior. You don't get to be an older American without doing something right in your life. You don't get there, you know, because life expectancies for so many is short. They keep saying that it's longer, but it's short. But it can be long. Depends on what you do with your life. And being able to get old, it means you've done something right. But you don't necessarily get old to be abused, to be mistreated, to be threatened by someone in your family, someone who you have raised from a baby on up to an adult. Now they're treating you like shit. Because you're old, you're weak, you're losing your thought process, your bones are weak, they're aching, they're hurting. Elder abuse in America is serious because we're all going to be old one day. I'm there already, but we're all going to be old one day. And do we want to be abused like some elderly people are being abused today? No. You're 20, 30, 40 years old, okay? Once you get 60, 70, and 80, do you want to be taken advantage of because you're old? Do you want to be hated because you're old? No. You want to be kicked in the ass because you're old? Knocked down, hit in the jaw, teeth knocked out, black eye because you're old? No. You don't want your mother or your father being treated badly, physically. No. So if you see something, say something. If you know something, if you're suspicious of something, contact somebody. Because if you don't, it's just like bullying. If you don't confront it, it's going to keep on happening. Elderly abuse is rampant. And abuse can, like the lady said, the abuse can go on in many avenues. It doesn't have to be physical. It can be emotional. But one of the things elderly people do not want, majority of them do not want, they do not want to go into a nursing home. They will do anything not to be in a nursing home. And that's one of the things younger people can threaten them with to try to get what they want. It's almost like blackmail. It could be a form of blackmail. But it's wrong. It is totally wrong. It is totally wrong. And just like I just got through saying, we're all going to be super old one day. Do we want to be kicked in the ass, knocked down, bludgeoned, treated awfully, treated badly, physically? No, we do not. But that is happening to so many other people out here. Become an advocate for elderly abuse. Become an advocate for stopping and intervening on old people who are abused and misused by younger people. I told a story the other day where a friend of mine and I walked into one of these. He was looking for a place. He's an elder. He was looking for a place to. It was a senior citizen building then there. And I was with him. And before he can say anything, a little short, little mean-looking ass lady walked up to him and started abusing him. And he wasn't even a resident of the building. You have people like this. Just being nasty just to be nasty. Working at good jobs, good-paying jobs. But being nasty and giving awful customer service and getting paid for it. And I can imagine some seniors who are living in senior buildings, complexes, being treated badly by the staff. You know, and you have to advocate for them. You don't know. I mean, a senior who has no family, no friends, sitting in a room in a senior building, sitting in his or her room all by themselves every day, and all of a sudden someone comes in there and starts mistreating them, abusing them, verbally abusing them, and then physically abusing them. And we don't know. We don't know what's happening to those seniors when they're all alone, and all of a sudden a staff member comes in and starts, you know, mistreating them, abusing them, and nobody says anything. Even a senior, the person who is being abused, won't say anything because they're afraid of retaliation. If you see something, you know something, if you're suspicious of a senior mate you think that might be being abused, say something. The Adult Protective Services. And always check on a senior. Check on a senior, especially if they're 75, 80, 85 years old. Check on them. You don't know. You don't know what might be going on. Check on them. Make sure there's no bruises on their face or their bodies. So check to make sure that they have not been taken advantage of emotionally or physically. All right. This is George Wilder of the George Wilder Jr. Show. I'm talking about, on this show today, elder abuse in America. And it is totally awful. It is awful, and it's going on all the time. All the time. And I'm just hoping that some of these people out there who can hear my voice become an advocate elderly. All right, here we go. Here we go. Let's move right along. Can we get some break music here? One thing about the George Wilder Jr. Show, there's no commercials unless they are my own commercials. But this is a free radio show. I mean, you can call and talk in, or you can be a guest on the show. It's free. I'll give you all the time you want because there's no commercials. There's no nothing. But you know what? Traditional radio, if you want really good radio, not really good radio because you can get good radio right here at this station, but it's something to have to pay for your radio. Pay for radio. Just like you have to pay for television, cable, all of this kind of crap that you have to pay for, then now they want you to pay for radio. You know, and I even had an advertisement. Someone came up to me and gave me a brochure talking about paying for radio. I'm not going to pay for no radio. I'm not paying for radio. I done stopped paying for TV. You know, it's all a scam. It's all, so basically what I'm saying, this is free radio. And this is a pretty popular radio show, okay? And I've been on almost a year and a half, I'm thinking, and I've done over almost 175 shows. And so I'm getting kind of used to doing the show, but it's free. I mean, the authors that come on the show, the writers, the guests, everybody's come on the show. They don't have to pay a thing, you know. I mean, because I enjoy talking to people. I enjoy doing the show. Even if I don't have a guest, the show, it will still go on. And we're talking about elder abuse in America. It's just like the same as domestic abuse. You know, I mean, you don't know what's going on in anybody's home. They may seem like the greatest neighbor in the world or the nicest person in the world, but when they decide, you don't know what's going on in there. You know, so however, if you see something, say something. It doesn't matter if it's elder abuse, domestic abuse, child abuse, any kind of abuse towards another human being, say something. Because you never know, one day it could be you. It could be you, and you don't want it to be you. You know, so you want to prepare yourself for that. I would probably say to some of my elderly friends and some of my friends in general, keep yourself safe. Keep yourself safe and learn as much as you possibly can, whether it's you or someone else, learn as much as you possibly can about elder abuse. I mean, I can't imagine walking into a nursing home and seeing somebody who works there, beating up on my grandmother, treating her really nasty and vile. I just couldn't imagine. But if something like that, I don't know what I would do. But I do know this. I would do something. I would do something. And with that, I would become an advocate for older people. I've said this many times in this show. What are we here for? Why are we here on earth if we cannot stand up for those who are vulnerable in society, who are misused, abused, taken advantage of because they are old? They didn't ask to be old. They didn't even ask to be born. They didn't ask to be here. All right, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Broadcasting live from Chicago, talking about elder abuse. We're going to take a break right here. Be right back. Thanks, everybody. Okay. looks like, thanks, we're back. All right, it looks like Donald Trump, the presidential candidate on the Republican side of the aisle, looks like he's going to be on Saturday Night Live. Yeah. Obviously, the attempt by the Hispanic and Latino community to keep him off Saturday Night Live, it has failed. I figured it would. I mean, if you go back and look and listen to my shows, you'll know that I said that no way this was going to happen. No way. Donald Trump is too much of a draw, and this is all about money for Saturday Night Live itself. Donald is a big draw. This is about ratings. The ratings are going to go through the roof. Hispanics, they're bitching and giving up nothing. So I knew Donald was going to be on it. I mean, I knew they weren't going to cancel his appearance. In no way, no how. He is a media figure. He's popular. He's famous. He's well known. He's a money maker. Funding is going to flow into Saturday Night Live. Money is going to flow. You know, so, and a lot of people are waiting to until Saturday Night Live is on the air so they can watch who? The Donald Trump, Donald J. Trump, as he would say. Right, so he's going to be on Saturday Night Live, and let's see. Okay, Latino. Okay, they're offering $5,000 for anybody to, I mean, once Donald Trump is on Saturday Night Live, a Latino group is offering anybody in the audience to yell out that Donald Trump is a racist. That's stupid. Okay, a Latino, once Donald Trump is on the air Saturday Night Live, a Latino group, Hispanic group, since they can't get him off the air, they're going to try to embarrass him while he's on Saturday Night Live by having someone or paying someone $5,000 just to call him a racist while he's on stage on live television. That's wrong. I mean, that's not a way to go, but that's stupid because they're afraid that Donald Trump might become president and deport them all. You know, even if they're illegal and they shouldn't be here. Because one of the things I do know, United States have some weak immigration laws. You know, even Obama have said something I disagree with. He said the immigration laws were broken. I don't think they're broken. They're just not enforced. I don't think they're broken. And I've said many times, Obama, he just talks. And after he talks, he forget about it's just talk. All he does is talk. He does a good thing. He can always, well, I talked about it. Yeah, that's about it. So getting back to Donald Trump, he is on Saturday Night Live, and a lot of people, even myself, I'm going to watch it. I'm going to, you know, because I'm on the radio, I'm kind of like in the media. So, yeah, kind of like in the media. And I think it's my duty to report what I see and what I think. And my opinion on what I see on Donald Trump. Not everybody's going to be doing it. Anybody who's anybody is going to watch this show because Donald Trump is on it. And because actually the Latino and Hispanic crowd, they just up the ante on the people to actually tune into the show. You know, to see if somebody in the audience is going to call him a racist because they're offering $5,000 for somebody, anybody in the audience that once he comes out and does his monologue, somebody in the audience is supposed to jump up and call him a racist. You know, that's what they want. It could happen. It could happen. I don't know. You know. So we'll just have to wait and see, and I will be back on the radio tomorrow to give you my take on it because everybody's going to have their take. You know, but my take might be a little different. So it's something to look forward to, okay? But anyway, their attempt to keep him off Saturday Night Live has failed. Latino, Hispanics, their attempt to keep him off television Saturday Night Live has totally failed. So now they're offering like a reward or something to someone, anybody in the audience while Donald Trump is on stage to call him a racist. You know what it sounds like to me? It sounds like to me that these Hispanic people, Latino people, are poor losers. They're poor losers. They want to see something. They just have to see something. They are fucking poor losers. That's what they are. And they're poor losers. We'll just have to see what's going to happen tonight on Saturday Night Live. Yeah, they are going to get the ratings. The ratings are going to go through the roof. Donald Trump even knows this himself. The head of Saturday Night Live, Lauren Michaels, he even knows this. And the Hispanics who are trying to keep him off the air, they know it. All right, this is George Wilder Jr. of George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. This is going to be interesting. All right, open our eyes. Latino group offers $5,000 for calling Trump a racist on SNL Saturday Night Live.
Open eyes that we may see to follow thee. Yeah.
We're back. I'm back. And I was talking basically about elder abuse in America, and it is awful. I've just been told I have 60 seconds left into the show, but that's fine. I don't need that much time anyway to say what I'm going to say. Don't hit your grandmother. Don't hit your mother. Don't hit anybody. Don't abuse anybody because they're old. They have Alzheimer's, dementia, schizophrenia, mentally ill. Do not abuse people who are helpless, fragile, disabled. Do not physically abuse these people. And if you see someone physically abusing these people because they have a disability, because they're old, because they can't defend themselves, say something. Say something. All right, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. Thank you for being here. Thank you. Bye-bye, everybody.